Welcome to Tower Talks. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Caitlin. This is the podcast where oversharing is caring and no subject is off limits.
Welcome back, guys. So the other day I was thinking about all the stuff going on in Israel and Palestine. All the things over there. And I'm not about to act like I completely understand all of the history between those two people. But with the whole Hamas group, I was like, how do we even get to that place where we feel such hatred towards other people? Mm. Like, where have we lost this idea of loving others?
Right.
Like God tells us to. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, like 1 Corinthians. Hold on. That's pictures. I was going to read part of this. But like 1 Corinthians 13 is obviously the whole love chapter. So that's what popped in my head. And it is love is patient. Love is kind. Love is long-suffering. Mm-hmm. Even that right there.
Mm-hmm.
Long suffering mm-hmm. with other people. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessings come to someone else. Love does not brag about one's achievements nor inflate its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame or disrespect, nor selfishly seek its own honor. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place of shelter. It never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. Hmm. And then, obviously, there are different translations and everything. That was the Passion Translation. But as I was sitting here thinking about it, like, broad, there is a war going on between these two groups of people. What mm-hmm. is happening, God? He was like, love keeps no record of wrongs.
Mm.
And I was like,
dang.
Okay. And I knew exactly, because I am bad about that. Yeah. Whether it is big, like we talked recently about our struggle. Most recently, like between the two of me and Caitlin.
Yeah.
And how mine was my thoughts and the things that would just pop in my head about, like, negatively about myself or mm-hmm. all the things. And I was like, well, if we would have never gone through that, talking about me and Elliot and our marriage, like, then I wouldn't have these feelings.
Yeah.
That is keeping a record of wrong towards Elliot.
Right.
And then towards, on a smaller scale, we have been working with the kids still about just putting your stuff up when you're done, please. Like, Charlie, when you were done with your millions of Legos, can you please just put them back yeah. in the thing? And like, I've made it so easy for you.
Right.
So just do it. Or when you're done with the bag of chips, throw the bag of chips away.
Yeah.
And then it popped in my head, love is patient and kind mm-hmm. and long-suffering. Because mm-hmm. I literally had the conversation with him the other day, like, Jacob, my nephew, is two. He is already learning these things. I have been teaching you these things since you were two. Do you know how long that is? And they were like, no. So we did the math. And Addison is pushing, like, 2,000-something days of me telling her, please just put your stuff up when you're done. Repeatedly. Yeah. He was like, love is patient. Yep. And love is kind. And then he said, if we can't learn these things in our house and demonstrate them and teach them in that way, how do we expect it to go beyond
right.
our walls?
Yeah.
Where then my kids have learned patience and kindness in school with all of the people they go to school with, at church, with all of those people, with everyone who they're going to come in contact with as they go through life. And that's how they love others.
Right.
But if we can't teach it and demonstrate it and live it out, how is it ever going to trickle down?
Right. And that, yeah, it's a big example with your kids, too, because we've been working on that.
Yeah.
And ours is not so much the putting things away, because Kellen is kind of a clean freak at times.
Mm-hmm.
Ours is like, he is such a rule follower, such a stickler for the rules, that he gets frustrated when Fiona, who is two, doesn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, the rule is no hitting, you know? And I'm like, well, she's two. She probably doesn't even comprehend what you're saying, you know? And so just having to remind him how to interact with other people and teach him how to interact with other people when I barely understand it myself. Like, I don't know, but I'm still figuring this out too. But just trying to teach him how to treat others, and even with like boundaries, I have been trying to teach him, okay, if Fiona is hitting you, rather than immediately tattletaling, here's the steps we're going to take. You're going to ask her to stop. If she doesn't stop, you're going to walk away. If she follows you, then you come get me and ask for help.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're going to follow this order of doing things as a way to kind of try and teach him, like, how to have adult relationships.
Yeah.
You know, like, because that'll trickle into all of his relationships in life. And so if I can teach him how to have a healthy relationship with his family now, then it'll be so easy when he gets older and, like, you know, doesn't have to unlearn things that I've taught him and relearn the right way to do it and all of that kind of stuff.
Because when I went back to read it through that lens of not, like, what's happening in the world, but, like, what's happening inside of our homes, there were so many things that you could pull out from that. Like, the love celebrates when the truth comes out. Like, if we don't allow our spouse or our kids to come and tell us things that we are not going to like, how are you ever going to either walk with them through that or correct something that is wrong? You're just going to live in this, whatever, lie, and never actually deal with any issues or get to speak into their life of, like, no, that's not really what we need to do, and use that as a moment to guide them.
Right. And I think that one people forget about all the time is that love is long-suffering. Because they're like, well, I'm miserable. Well, okay. And are you still loving the person? Because love suffers for others. And I know that's not fun to hear. But, like, what I think about is when I have struggled with depression before. Okay. Like, I had a massive depressive episode back when Josh and I were dating. And that lasted for most of our dating life. That man proposed to me when I was in the middle of my depression. And he never walked away when he had every excuse to. When everyone would have been like, it's fine, he should have left. You know? Like, he didn't. Because he understands long-suffering. He understands choosing someone even when it's not fun for you.
And sticking with it.
And that's what I think people even forget with God. They're like, why is God letting me suffer? If he loves me, he wouldn't do this to me. You know? And it's like, well, how can you understand how much he loves you if you don't understand what it's like to suffer for others? You couldn't wrap your head around it, because you would think that love equals sunshine and rainbows. And that's not what true love is. I mean, he's the best example of that.
Because even in, like, worldly view, I've heard so many young people say, well, I never saw my parents fight. I never saw my parents disagree about anything. They were always happy. They always got along. So then the very first disagreement in their grown-up relationship, they're like, oh, this obviously is not going to work because we're having disagreements all the time. Where if you don't get to witness it and walk through it beforehand, then you think something crazy is happening. Everything's messed up. So he's just teaching you along the way of, like, this is okay. We are going to get through this. You're going to stick with me. I'm going to stick with you.
Yeah.
You have to walk through it.
I think we just have to get back to basics in relationships even.
Yeah.
And like that passage that you read, there's your guidebook.
Yeah.
There's your guidebook that you need to get through relationships.
So I think that's our challenge. Like, go read 1 Corinthians 13 and let it just speak to you about a couple things you could work on in your relationships within your own house.
Mm-hmm.
And how we can shift that dynamic.
Because I think people have also forgotten about the ripple effect.
Yeah.
Like, it may seem small to you to love your children a little better every day.
Mm-hmm.
But that trickles into their behavior. That trickles into how they treat other people. That trickles into their own children.
Yeah.
And that trickles into the kind of leaders they become, the kind of employees they become, the kind of friends they become.
The kind of spouses they choose.
Yes. It touches everything. So your choice to love the people around you well is no small thing.
Right.
And like, just to kind of challenge people, when you don't love the people around you well, that also trickles into everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it holds a lot of weight,
yeah,
is what I'm saying. And like, you know, this is how you change the world, by changing your circle.
Yeah.
By changing the way that you interact with people on a daily basis. And I also want to point out that the way that you learn to love others is by letting Jesus love you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't understand how to be good to them unless you've had someone be good to you.
Yeah.
And you can't trust people to do that. You know, you have to have a perfect example to go off of.
Mm-hmm.
And he is our perfect example.
Yes. I remember when Addison was little, this just popped in my head. Like, when she would fuss and whine at night, like, we knew she was fine.
Mm-hmm.
But then it kept going, and Elliot kind of got into the habit of being like, just stop, go to bed, close the door.
Like, yeah.
Not necessarily that harsh, but more like that. And then I was like, you know what? I don't really like that, because I want her to know that, like, when she's upset, someone will be there for her. And
yeah,
that is her example of, like, what to expect from others.
Yeah.
Like, I can come to you, you will listen to me, you will help me, you will be with me.
Yeah.
So once we started doing that, like, going in there and talking to her, like, you are okay, we are right here, everyone is going to sleep.
Yeah.
If you need me, I will come back. It shifted so much, like, so right, quickly. And then she was like, oh, okay. Like, everyone's doing this. It's not just me. I'm not alone. You're going to your room too.
Right.
And it eased it up. But like, the way we love in those situations is teaching them what to expect long term. Like, this is okay, this is what I'm looking for, not someone who's going to lash out at me because I'm upset about something.
Yeah.
Or because I am in a dark place right now. Like, they're going to stick with you.
And I think a lot of people, like, have the head knowledge,
mm-hmm,
of this is how things should be.
Yeah.
But don't always carry it out, you know? And,
or this is how I would want to be treated. Mm-hmm. Like, do unto others, that, mm-hmm, whole Bible. Like, yeah, that's what I want to.
Yeah.
But then if you're having a hard day, I don't feel like dealing with that.
Yeah. Well, and it kind of got me thinking about the conversation we were having the other day about how we feel like there's lots of people in our life who know God.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they are saved.
Yeah.
They are aware that he exists. They are aware of his presence.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't necessarily spend time with him enough to let that fruit show in their lives, because they're not letting him love them.
Yeah.
You know, they're not, like, teaching, letting him teach them what love looks like.
Right.
They're just like, my life is miserable, so God must hate me. Mm-hmm. And that's not the truth.
Yeah.
But you can't unlearn that if you don't seek the truth.
Yeah.
And you don't seek what love is. And you don't let him explain it to you and show you. So I guess if you're feeling today like you're just miserable and everything around you is going wrong, and, you know, you're questioning, does God even love me?
Mm-hmm.
why would he put me in this situation if he loves me? Why can nothing go right? Why am I going to be this miserable forever? I would encourage you to get alone with him and just say, God, show me how much you love me. Yeah. Just show me what your love looks like for me. And it kind of reminds me of something he told me yesterday, actually. I was sitting there and I was kind of having a little moment, a little pity party, because I was like, God, I know what you've promised me.
Mm-hmm.
I know what you said about this situation. So, like, why isn't it happening? What do I need to do? You know, like, what? How can we speed this up? You know, kind of thing. And am I doing something wrong? Am I preventing this?
Yeah.
That kind of thing. I was like, because if this is your will and everything is in place, then why hasn't it happened yet? And he was explaining to me that, like, that's works-based love. Mm-hmm. Because you're thinking that I need to do something for you or I don't love you. And then he kind of gave me this parable. He was like, let's say that you have a child from a very wealthy family and a child from a very poor family. Which one is loved more? Like, you can't really tell based off of that. And he said, okay, let's say it's Christmas time. The wealthy child gets everything they asked for. Everything on their list, nothing that they wanted was not there that day. The poor child gets one gift. And it's nothing special. Just one gift. Who was loved better? And I said, I don't know. Because, like, you can't base it off that. And he said, which child do you think was more grateful? And I was like, well, I mean, you can't really know for sure. I said, but maybe the wealthy child is used to getting their way. Maybe they're used to getting everything they want, and so they're not really as grateful. I said, but the poor child, I would think they would be grateful because they would know that their really parents special. Had to sacrifice to give them that gift. And he said, oh, so what you're saying is love is based on sacrifice. Let me put my foot in my mouth, sir. And I knew exactly what he was saying. He was like, I've sacrificed everything for you.
Yeah.
Why do you not know how loved you are? You know? And it was just like, it hit me like a ton of bricks that I've been expecting him to do things to show me he loves me.
Right.
Rather than resting in the fact that he already sacrificed everything for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what real love looks like. And I think we've just got a skewed view of it.
Yeah.
And we got to kind of shift our focus and shift our priorities to what really matters.
Yeah.
The whole purpose of this podcast is so that people will feel less alone in their struggles by the topics we're covering. And so if you know someone who could be helped by this episode, feel free to share it with them just so that they feel like they're seen.
And if you have any comments or questions or even topics that you want us to discuss, feel free to share those with us too at Tower Talks Podcast on Facebook or Instagram.